right, gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and begin. Can everybody hear me good? Good to have you here. Welcome to the 26th annual IBC Men's Retreat. Well, we're glad to have you. If I had not had a chance to meet you, which I haven't, I'm Pastor Dwayne Boyer, pastor of IBC there in Duryea. So glad to have each one of you out here. Just a couple quick words, then we're going to turn over to Shane Kohlmeyer, evangelist Shane Kohlmeyer out of our church. He'll be leading the music today and tomorrow. And we'll do a lot of singing here, so there should be a hymnal pretty close to you there to share. And if not, we've got plenty on the sides. Again, thank you for being here. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to begin in prayer. And then stay standing. There should be a hymnal again near you. We'll stay standing for several hymns here. Looking forward to hearing everyone sing, lift up our voices to the Lord here tonight. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll begin by our song service. Thank you, Lord, for the safety you've given each one that's here. Lord, folks come from different directions, different places, some close by, some, Lord, I know even from Virginia and other places. Lord, we thank you for the safety on the roads on a very cold night. Thank you that we can be here and enjoy these facilities at Camp Lador. Thank you, Lord, again for your goodness. I thank you for those that are here for the first time, those that are here for maybe they've been to every one of them. Lord, that's a blessing. We thank you for the opportunity over many years to have this retreat and impact men and young men for the Lord. We ask your blessing certainly tonight as we lift up our voices in song, Lord, to you. May you be glorified in all that's done. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive the word of God that'll be preached later tonight. Lord, we pray and you'll do a work in all our hearts. May we be hungry. Lord, may you speak to us directly. May we act on that, Lord. If you convict us of any area, we love and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so let's go ahead and stand, and we're singing 619 in our hymn book, Stand Up for Jesus. 619.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Wonderful. We're going to turn now to 621, a few pages over. Who is on the Lord's side? Let's just keep on standing and singing. Sing it out now.
Who will face the
answer now. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the kings of armies none can overthrow. Round his standard raging, victory is secure, for his truth not changing makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting by thy grace divine, may on the Lord's side Savior reign on thine.
Amen. Let's turn a few pages over to 633. Hold the fort, for I am coming. 633.
All my comrades hail, single, waiting in the sky. Waiting your spits out, hearing victory is high.
The third stanza, we're going to have this side sing the third stanza, everyone on the chorus, fourth stanza over here, everyone on the chorus, all right, third stanza over here, here we go.
See.
Stand to this side.
Fierce.
Okay, you may be seated. 186. I'll let you sit for a little bit.
get to that chains fell off, I should have seen a smile on everybody's face. Amen. Amen. All right, praise God what he does. Now we're going to do the last stanza. I want to do it a cappella, though. All right, so I'll just give our starting note, and then we'll be a cappella. Verse number 5, here we go. No condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Lord, I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing, amazing, how can it be that thou, thy God, shouldst die for me?
Amen. I like that singing, man. All right, I'm the change in this song, too. We're going to 4:17. 4:17, it is well. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand together. When peace like a river.
Is going to be a cappella. He's going to join us on the fourth verse when we sing. Here we go. Third verse a cappella.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh.
you may be seated. And all the IBC men, if you got a voice left, come on up at this time.
Trust that was a blessing to you and prepared your heart for the preaching of your word. Just before our preacher comes, let me briefly introduce him. Many of you know him. He's preached many times up in this part of Pennsylvania. You've had him in your churches. But some of you perhaps have not met or heard Evangelist Mike Pelletier preach. So good to have Mike with us here. He's been in full-time evangelism since 1998. He's a graduate of Bob Jones University, and he's traveled throughout the United States, many foreign countries. He's going to be in Liberia here just even this month, and we're so glad to have him here. He's not preached any of our men's retreats before, and so it was a special treat when I checked with him last year. He had it open. He was excited about coming. He married Becky Comfort, Evangelist Ron Comfort. Many of you know Evangelist Ron Comfort. That's his daughter, and so Ron Comfort's his father-in-law. He's got three children. Was it your youngest that just got married? Yes. The youngest just got married less than a week ago, so he's coming off of a wedding, coming right up here, and yeah, a little bit warmer weather where the wedding was down in North Carolina. He lives in Ellenboro, North Carolina, not too far from Ambassador Baptist. And what's funny is we were in, of course, North Carolina 23 years. We were in Asheville. My wife's from the same area that they live. And I had never, all those years, never run into Mike, never heard him preach. And I only ever heard him preach one time. And that was up here at the Biblical Baptist a year ago. And it's funny, he's not that popular in North Carolina. And no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. We had the privilege of having him over last night. He spent the night. True. That's his territory. So, no, Mike's a great guy. I know many of you know him well. You'll get to know him here. We're so glad to have him here. And enjoy the fellowship last night at the home, and he'll be at our church all day Sunday. His only condition was he had a wooden pulpit. He said, I like the clear ones, all right? He said, I like the acrylic ones. So we had to get this out of storage. No, I'm kidding. But, no, we're so thrilled to have Mike here. He'll be preaching today and tomorrow. Mike, you come. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to hearing you.
Oh, this is on now. No, he's saying that because when I walked in, I said, I can't preach out of that pulpit. It's a clear pulpit. But I'm good with it. I'm just kidding. Now, don't anybody be taken off to the quilting thing tomorrow. We'll be watching you. If you go to the quilting thing, I might change my message. So glad to be here, and already I've just enjoyed the fellowship. Singing's been great. I'm telling you, no one can lead music like Brother Shane can.
Right?
Yeah, I just love it. I love it. I wish he'd get right with God and just come and do my music in my revival meetings. But he says he's called to preach. I don't know. How many think he's called to be a music man for Mike Pelletier? Okay, no. Okay. All right. So he's doing what he's supposed to do. But sure enjoyed the piano playing. Really gifted. Good to have our brother playing the piano over here, too. And Brother Andrew. So what a blessing. All right, well, let's take our Bibles. I'm Mike Pelletier. I've been in evangelism now for 34 years. It doesn't mean I know anything. It just means I go one place and I got to go somewhere else because they're done with me, you know. But I certainly have been privileged to be in evangelism and to be here. This is a great privilege for me. All right, let's take our Bibles and we want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And if you will, let's stand together as we read our text. Exodus chapter 3. So how many of you are going to be able to be here tomorrow? Okay, that's the majority. How many have to leave tonight? It's your only time to be here. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. So what a blessing to have you. And hope we can all be a blessing to you who can only be here tonight. All be a blessing to each other. All right, Exodus chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will lead in this meeting, each service, that in the pulpit, out of the pulpit, you'll be working in our lives, that you will build us as men, and that we will be better for having been under the Word and the Spirit of God working in our hearts. We ask for your leadership. We're confident for that leadership because you hold true to your promise. If we ask, if we seek, if we knock, we'll find. The door will be opened. If we lack wisdom, you give it. If we trust in you, that you'll direct our paths. And not one of us is here just to have a good time. We're here to grow. And so, Father, including me, we ask you, do a work in our lives and make us better men. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. So the goal of the conference, is to become the best dads that we can be. Amen? Amen. The best sons we can be. The best husbands we can be. Best brothers we can be. Best workers we can be. The best church workers we can be, the best neighbors we can be, the best men we could be, the best friends that we could be or become. to be better at all of these things, to be the best deacons we can be better than what we were if we need to be the best pastors we can be, to be the best evangelists we could be, the best laymen we could be. And the only way that we could ever be our best and optimum is God. And so we know that that is the answer, so we're looking for that answer to God at this meeting. And we've got four sessions that I'll be speaking, what I believe God is leading us, things that maybe we know, things maybe we don't know, but things that we need to be the best that we can be. It's always been God, always will be God, and so we will be the best we can be with God. So the first thing we're going to look at is found here in Exodus chapter 3. And there's a message here tonight to kind of get us started to being the best that we could possibly be. Now, in this passage of Scripture, God appeared to Moses, and this was his burning bush experience, okay? Now, we all could use a burning bush experience. I used to think, boy, if God would do something big in my life, like a car accident. I've heard of people's life being changed because they had a car accident. And maybe that would change me and make me better. And then I would think if I had some other dramatic event happen, that maybe I could become a great, great man of God. And in this passage, Moses had his burning bush experience. And so what we look at are things like this. It took Moses from being the shepherd that he was to become the great man of God that he was. And so I kind of wanted a burning bush experience. But one day I understood there's only been one burning bush experience in all of history. But there have been many men of God throughout history. Like the Apostle Paul, in a way, had his burning bush experience when he was walking to the road to Damascus and the light blinded him, and Paul became Saul. Well, how many times was there a light that blinded people to transform their life? Once. So there's only one man that became a greater man by that experience. So if we've got to have a burning bush, we've got to have some light, only two people could be men of God. But there have been many men of God through the years. And so there are other illustrations, the appearance of the captain of the Lord of hosts that appeared, the fleece with Gideon. So these things we see as kind of transformations. But it's not really what these men went through that transformed them. It's what they learned about God that transformed them. And what they learned about God was basically that God wanted to be their God. And God had something for them. And God would be with them. And God would do great things through them. But it was all about God's story, not them. And they still became wonderful, wonderful, great men of God. So it's not a burning bush experience like Moses had here, but it's what he learned about God here that totally transformed his life. Now, we're at different stages spiritually, but we all can be men of God. And we all can become more than what we are, or at least we need something to maintain our spiritual health. So we're going to look at different things this week that I hope will build us all. Now, the first thing that I want to draw our attention to here is this story. Now, God appears to Moses, and he says to him, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, when I think of Moses, I think of Moses as being the man of God. And I think of Moses as being way up here and then Mike Pelletier way down here, if I even rate anywhere. And I think I would like to be like Moses, the man of God. But then, one day, as I was looking at this, it hit me that Moses, the man of God, was not always what he later became. And we may not be what we should be right now, but that doesn't mean we can't become that. And so we've got a great illustration of this. And so I want to talk to us about making God our God, not just knowing about God, but making God our God tonight. And there are some people here, you're already men of God. I'm already walking with God. But there's some tangible things that we can do and what it looks like to make God our God. If you're somebody, you feel like you're way down here and you haven't grown spiritually, listen, we're all in this thing together. We're not looking down. We're not better than anybody. We're not thinking less of anybody. But if you personally feel like, man, I'm down here and I've got to grow, there's something I'm going to tell you tonight that I think will help you, a tangible way to get like up here where you feel closer to God. So this is what it's all about this week of meetings. Now, the first thing I want to look at in this passage is from God's perspective. He knows where people are spiritually. And from God's perspective, he knows where each of us are. He knows who in this room has a prayer life. He knows who in this room wants to have a better prayer life, but you failed. And he knows who in this room has not even really considered it to be that important. But you're still good men, but you need to grow. And so God knows right where everybody is, and his goal is to get us all to grow into the stature that we should, the fullness of the stature of Christ, and God knows exactly where we are right now. So the first point I'm going to look at is the perspective of God. Now, when you look at this, I want you to notice how God introduced himself to Moses. He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But one thing I want you to notice was he didn't say, Moses, I am your God. Now, why didn't he say, Moses, and I am your God? Because I believe at this point, even though Moses probably was a believer in God, his mother taught him about God, he probably was somebody who would consider himself to be a Jehovah worshiper. From God's perspective, he and Moses had not gotten connected yet. And so God said, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob, but I'm not yet yours, but I want to become your God. Now follow me on this, and you'll see why I believe this and how it applies to us, okay? Now, as I mentioned, men are at different stages, and men can become better than what they are. And illustrations of this are these men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. There are other men in the Bible like Paul that we could talk about, who was Saul. But let's just look at these. Take your Bibles and turn over to Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, God appears to Abraham. And I want you to see how God introduces himself to Abraham. Genesis 12 and verse 1, Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now we think of Abraham as being a great man of God, but just notice how the Lord appeared unto him. God does not say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He doesn't say, I am your God. It just says, the Lord appears to him and talks to him. Now, why? Because at this point, Abraham, who we know to be the father of the nation of Israel, the great man that he was, Abraham and God were not yet connected. But something happened in this passage where God said, hey, if you will follow me, I will bless you. I will do these things in your life. And so then the Bible says that Abraham decided to. Notice verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And he did exactly what God asked him to do. So in essence, this is where Abraham went from here spiritually to begin to go up to here spiritually. He became Abraham. Not just Abraham, but the man of God. And I'm just pointing out, you may not feel like you are like some of these other men you know. You may not feel like you walk closely to God. You feel like a second-class Christian or third-class Christian or just a weak Christian. You'll never be like that man of God. Listen, we all can grow. And we can have a relationship with God that is more than we could ever have dreamed. So here's where Abraham became God, made God his God. Now then, Abraham had a son. Now take your Bibles and look at Genesis 26. Abraham's son's name was Isaac. Now, though Abraham was a godly man, Isaac grew up about God, learning him, Isaac had to make a decision as the son of Abraham that he was going to make God his God, not just his dad's God. Now, we've got dads here and sons here. We've got pastors here and brothers of pastors here. A brother of a pastor can be as much a man of God as the pastor. Amen? Amen. A son of a man of God can be a man of God as much as the dad's a man of God. And there's nobody here that cannot be a man of God. You may not feel like you can, but you can. God's made it possible for us all. Now, let's go ahead and look at God appearing to Isaac now. Abraham had a son, and notice verse 24, the Lord appeared unto him, Isaac, the same night, and said, I am the God of thy Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Now notice, he's basically saying, not just with your dad, I'm going to be with you. Not just multiply your dad's seed, I'm going to multiply your seed. And I'm going to not just bless your dad, I want to bless you. And it says, and he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, I've got a great father-in-law, man of God. It's like he swallowed the Bible and he spits it out like a machine gun. Now, Evangelist Ron Comfort is a great man of God. And then I'm just Mike. But you want to know the truth? God is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Ron Comfort. He wants to be the God of Mike Pelletier, too. And so we all need to come to grips with that, that God says that he can be our God. Now notice how God introduced himself, and I'm making a point on this. Great men of God were not always what they later became, so that means we can grow, and we can, and I'll show some tangible things we might be able to do, how that looks, how it happens as we come to the end of this first session. But notice how God appeared himself to verse 24 to Isaac. How he introduced himself. The Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Now notice that he didn't say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now why? Part of it was Jacob wasn't born yet. I know that as part two. But what I want to emphasize is Isaac was born. And Isaac was a full-grown man. And so God, from his perspective, he's saying, okay, Isaac, your dad and I have gotten connected. But somehow you're in the background here. I want to get connected with you. As much as I'm connected with your dad, I want to be the God of Isaac too. And so then, Isaac, it says in verse 25, built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, we're not in any competition with each other. We're not in any competition to see who can be the greatest man of God. What I'm saying is we all can be, and none of us want to miss out. We all can experience God. God is not a respecter of persons, and he says he wants to be all of our God. He sent Jesus Christ to earth, reconcile us to himself. So the whole foundation of Calvary is that God wants us in a relationship with him. So it's not just with him, it's with me and him, and you and him, and him and him, and all of us. And if you feel again like you're down here, we're not saying that you should be proud. But you can, when you have a relationship with God, you can be thankful. And there's a difference between being proud and being thankful. And I am thankful that I can have a relationship with God. And I'm also thankful that there's not one man that can't have that. And so we can get closer to God. So here God appears to Abraham. And then Abraham made God his God. Isaac then had to make God his God. And then Isaac had a son. And his name was what? Jacob. All right, now flipping your Bibles over to Jacob, how God introduces himself to Jacob, Genesis 28. In Genesis 28, it says in verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it as he talks to Jacob, and he says to Jacob, I am the Lord God of thy father, Abraham. Now get this, and the God of Isaac. Now from God's perspective, now he's saying, God's perspective, I'm not just Abraham's God now, I'm Isaac's God too. Now, again, we're not here to beat anybody up. We're here to lift everybody up. Amen? We're not here to make anybody feel like, well, there's a pecking order, like he's way up here and then you're way down here and then I'm somewhere right here, but I want to get there, but he's way down there. None of that. We are all on the same plane with God. But yet, some of us are at different levels spiritually. And I'm saying from God's perspective, God knows who in this room is a man of faith and who is not and who is wavering. God knows who in this room has a prayer life and who has not yet developed that, but can. And God is not writing off Isaac. God did not write off Abraham. God did not write off Moses. He's 80 years old, man. 80 years old, and he still hadn't gotten connected like he needed to. How old are you? It doesn't matter. If you're not connected yet, Abraham was 80 years old, and he got connected. So what God is wanting is demonstrating he wants us to be connected to him, and not just people that are saved, but people that are really connected. I think we would say Moses was saved, but not connected yet. I think we would say that Isaac probably believed in God because he was the one who was there when he went upon that mountain. And when he was up on that mountain, where's the lamb? God said, Abraham said, well, God will provide himself a lamb. And then he says, lay down on the altar. He lays down on the altar and he ties his hand. You're going to be the sacrifice. And then he saw his dad raise that knife. I'm sure. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But I do know that God provided the lamb in the thicket, right? Now, don't you think that made an impression on Isaac? And I do believe that Isaac fully believed in God. But evidently, he wasn't connected to God yet because God said, I am the God of thy father, but not your God yet. Saved, yes, but not the level of man of God who's walking with God. What level would God say you are at? God knows everyone in this room who's struggling with sin. God knows everyone in this room who doesn't have a prayer life. God knows everyone in this room who's surface, not substance, shallow, not depth. But he wants us all to get into that depth with God, and we can. Now, don't be down if you're not where you want to be, but be encouraged you can be where you want to be. That's all I'm saying. Now, God appeared to Abraham. Then God appeared to Isaac. Now God appears to Jacob. Now notice how he introduces himself. And behold, the Lord stood up and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And then he says, basically, if you'll follow me, I'll be with thee. Verse 15, we'll keep thee in the places whither thou goest. We'll bring thee again into the land. And I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So he's saying, I'm going to be with you if you will make me your God. And then verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep in his way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Now he had a problem there. I know he was using God instead of serving God. But yet he did this. He had to grow, and he did grow into the man called Israel. But he had to grow, but yet the start was there. I will make that God my God. And Jacob made the decision. I'm not going to just exist. I'm not just going to be on my way to heaven. I'm not just going to be sitting in the pew. I'm going to be a man of God with God's help. I will make God my God. And we'll give you tangible things you could do for that that might help you get started in that. But then you turn back over to Exodus chapter 3 where we started and you find that God said to Abraham, to Moses, verse 6, moreover he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and then notice he adds this, and the God of Jacob. And so from God's perspective, he now had become Jacob's God. So people that are men of God that you might admire were not always what they are now. They had to have a time when they had something happen where they stepped up in a relationship with God, and it's by faith, and we'll talk all about that, but they stepped up in the relationship with God, and that's what we want. We don't want to be just men that exist. We want to be the best dads we could be, by God's help, the best deacons we could be. We want to be the best men that we could be. And that's what the conference is about. Now, the perspective of God, I want us to look at what we want is we don't want to be people like that, that God is our Savior, but He's not our God. And we want to be men of God. And I want to look at a passage. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 18, Psalms 18. And this is a passage that the psalmist wrote. I don't know that it was David. A Psalm of David, yes. Now, here's what he wrote. I will love thee, Psalm 18, 1 through 3, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, there are many things that I like about that passage. I like the part, though, most of all, the pronouns. Now, the pronouns in my Bible, I circled them. And the reason I circled them, in part, was because I have a great father-in-law, Evangelist Ron Comfort. He started a Bible college. He prayed in millions of dollars for his Bible college. And then I had some needs, and I'm an evangelist, and I'm thinking I'm just Mike. And what I wrestle with is, am I going to have this kind of relationship with God where God will supply my need too? My ministry needs. Well, God supernaturally, divinely intervened for me. And not that I'm trying to be anybody. I just want to succeed. I don't want to play at this. I want to walk with God. You know what I'm saying? So I was wrestling with, well, I'm just Mike. But I needed this passage, and I circled the pronouns because I needed it. And if you look in my Bible, you could see the pronouns are circled, okay? I got them in there 9 times. All right, now. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now get that. That's a big deal. I'm going to tell you why. Here's what's going through my mind. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, not just Ron Comfort's strength. Now, I don't mean, well, you're not any better than me. I fully respect my father-in-law. Great preacher. I admire great men of God. But you know what I understand? I can have as much relationship with God as anyone else. And in my life, I have different needs than anybody else. God doesn't call me to start a Bible college. I was going to start a Bible college, Pelletier University. I told my father-in-law, we're going to call a Pelletier University and we'll just call it PU. So people could say, I graduated from PU. Okay? Now, I'm not planning on starting a Bible college or anything like that. But I didn't need that deliverance, but there are other things I needed deliverance and strength in, okay? And so here's what I did. I circled the minds, and here's what I think that would be good for us to say, okay? Get in your head, God is my strength, not just somebody else's. And so what I want to do is I'm going to leave out the pronoun, and you say it when I get to it, and then I'll go on. I will love thee, O Lord. My, just that one word. Isn't that a good word? My strength, not just His strength. And then the Lord is my rock. Good word. Not just somebody else's rock. And then He wants to be my fortress. That's a wall of protection. And my deliverer. My God. My strength, not just His strength. There's that word again, strength. In whom I will trust, and He goes, my buckler, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now, that word mine, that's where each one of us should be, where we can honestly, deep down in our souls, believe it. Not just the pastors, but the laymen. Not just the deacons, but those who are not deacons. Not just the dads, but the kids, the sons. Some of the greatest Christians you'll ever meet are teenagers. So we all need to be there. Not someone who's been saved for 40 years, but someone who's been saved for 4 days. God is mine as much as someone else's. And that's what we're here for, to get connected with God. in greater measure, or to believe again what we need to keep believing, that He is my rock. He is my strength. He is my fortress, not somebody else's only, but He's mine too. So with this first point, the perspective of God, it's basically, where are you at right now? God knows where you're at. Now the second thing, if you're not where you should be, we're going to get to the third point, the path to God to maybe get started. But the second thing I want to look at is the power of God. Now, Moses saw a lot of powerful things, the parting of the Red Sea. And I kind of like seeing the demonstration of God. I like to see answers to prayer. Don't you? I like to see God's divine intervention in my life. I love it. Like even last week, I was praying for two things, and those two things both got taken care of exactly as I prayed, and they were not just general things, specific things. And those specific things get answered by God. I go, wow, God is amazing. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I've been out there, glory to God, and I've said it like 20 times. I can't stop. I love it when God does great things. So what we want is to see the power of God, and Moses saw it many times in his life. Now, we don't want to use God. We want to serve God. But when we see the power of God, we're thankful. And this is what we can experience. Now, if you look at Psalms 18, here are some specific things. I will love thee, O Lord, my what? Strength. Now, how many of you could use a little strength in your life? I know we're not a bunch of women, we're not a bunch of girls, but I'm telling you, even men, we go through some tough things, am I right? Sometimes you got more than you can do. You've got jobs and pressures and families and bills, and you've got a lot of things that you're juggling. And there's sometimes more than you can do, you think. But since God's strength is omnipotent strength, you can do anything you have to do with God. So that's not a pep talk, it's the Bible truth. So you bring into your lungs and breathe into your lungs the doctrines of the Bible. I can do this. If I'm supposed to, I can. So God is my strength. Many times I've needed strength. Some of you know, most of you know, some of you don't know. When I was a little boy, my dad put a 12-gauge shotgun in his mouth and he pulled the trigger and he blew off the back of his head. Now, you could tell me I'm weak, but I need His strength. And my mom said, this is not the time to get bitter at God. This is the time that we need God. And so we turned to God instead of running from God, and we did great. So I've seen at a young age that God can be our strength. And now I got too many things going sometimes. Can I do this? Yes, I can. Because anything God calls me to do, He enables me to do. Now then, the Lord is my rock. That's speaking of stability in difficult times. Now, we're in some really weird days, aren't we? Transgenders are like in, and guys who look like a man are kind of out. There's some weird days here. Okay, we got people that say, you believe in God? What are you, some kind of fool? No, I am not a fool. I'm right. I'm not a fool. There is a God. And so we're living in days where things are unstable. Financially, things are unstable. We have a rock in God. So we need Him. The Lord is my fortress, sets that wall of protection. The Lord is my deliverer, in whatever way you need deliverance. I've seen God deliver me in many ways that have been very, very exciting. And I think about one time when I was in a very dangerous situation in Haiti, for instance. I can remember praying, Lord, what do we do? And God divinely, supernaturally intervened. It was a miracle of miracles. And I could explain, but I won't take the time. I needed God to deliver me financially, where I have prayed specifically for things that I needed is even last week. And God divinely, supernaturally intervened. Now, God is that deliverer. I can't do it. You can't do it, but God can. So we've got to have that relationship with God. My God is what the next one is. And God can do anything, so that covers everything. My strength, again, my buckler, that's the shield of protection, the horn of my salvation. Now, I would be wrong to not mention this. Salvation is from whatever you need salvation from. But if there's one person here that you're not sure you're going to go to heaven, what you need first and foremost is to make sure you get salvation from sin. Jesus came to earth and God said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. So if there's anybody here, you're 50% sure you're going to heaven, maybe 75% sure you're going to heaven, that's not good enough. You've got to be 100% sure you're going to heaven, and we can tell you how. But God wants to be your salvation. Now then he goes on and he says, all of these things, my high tower taking us out of these problems. Now, when we get in the right relationship with God, in a nutshell, we can do anything that we need to do. I cannot be a good pastor. You know why? I'm not called to be one. I'm called to be an evangelist. I cannot ever have a baby. You know why? God didn't make me able to do that. But I can do anything I'm supposed to do, and so can you. And the way that's done is if we are men of God, walk with God, and we're supernaturally empowered by God to be the best husband, the best neighbor, the best worker, the best co-worker, the best deacon, the best pastor, we can do anything we need to do with God's enabling. So we've got to be men of God. God knows where we're at right now. We know the power of God and that we need that. So how are we going to get from here to here? We're always striving to do more, to get closer to God, to be more like Christ. So don't take it like I'm going to say, well, we can arrive and we finally got there. We're always growing, right? And sometimes we're going a little bit like this. But we want to be the best that we can be, which only happens by walking with God, enabling by God. So here's some tangible things to get us started, okay? Let's look in our Bibles at Psalms 18, 1 through 3. Now, we're kind of using Exodus 3 as the springboard to show that God knows where we're at. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob now. And I want to be your God, okay? And everybody who makes God their God has to have a definite moment when they have, like, that decision. I want this. I want this. I don't want to just sit in the pew. I want to be the man of God. I don't want to just be a baby. I want to grow up. And I want to be a man of God. Godly man, godly husband, godly dad. That's what I want. And we can be. Now, here's some tangible ways to start this. How do we make God our God? What does that look like? Now, there are three times that these two words are in Psalm chapter 18, the words I will, okay? Now, it's in verse 1, and then it's in verse 2, and then it's in verse 3. Now, first of all, in verse 1, the psalmist said, I will love thee. Now, the first thing you can do if you want to grow close to God and begin, even tonight, you set your affection on, I'm going to love God. I'm not going to love dumb things. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. This is the first and great commandment. I will love thee. Others may not, but I will. And anything that goes into loving God, that's what I'm going to strive to do. One of the things that involves is separating from sin. The Bible says, ye that love the Lord hate what?
Evil.
Now somebody says, well, I got a little sin problem. I'm looking at pornography. That's not a little sin problem. God actually said that's a big sin problem. God said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not the whole body should be cast into hell. In other words, you can look at something with your eye that is a bad enough sin that if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, you'd go to hell for that. Now, if you are a Christian and you are struggling with that, you won't go to hell because you are born again. But I'm just pointing out, it's something bad enough that if it wasn't for Jesus, you would go to hell for that. And so you got to get out of that. And how do you get over that? I will love thee. Lord, I'm not going to love what hurts you. I love you more than I love that. And I don't want anything to come between me and you, God. Nothing. I am not going to love sin because I love you more than I love that sin. Devil comes along? No way. I love God, and that's my choice. I will not do what hurts God. I'm not going to be angry. Why? Because God said, don't. And when I get angry and I lose my cool and I just yell, then I don't love God at that moment. I love myself. Only by pride cometh contention. So if somebody's fighting, somebody's got pride. So you fall in love with God and you say, look, I love God enough that I'm going to do what he wants. I'm not going to lose my cool. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And I love God enough. I'm not going to love venting. I'm not going to love cussing. And anything that has to do with loving God biblically, you strive. I'm going to love God. I just will. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to love the people of church. God says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. If any man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. So I'm going to love people because I love God. Some people aren't so easy to love. I'm going to love them because I'm wanting to walk with God and show God I love him. So I will love thee, O Lord. And anything God wants me to do, I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to spend time with him. Because if you love somebody, you're going to spend time with them. So I'm going to carve out time to be with him. I'm going to set my affection on God. I'm going to look at what he made. I'm going to say, God, you're amazing. I'm going to drink it in. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to love God. I'm a man that loves God. So a tangible thing you can do is set your affection on loving God. I will love him. Others may not, but I will. Now, second thing you find is in verse 2. It says, I will what? Trust. And if you're going through problems, just decide. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm going to trust God. And that's what makes a man of God. Faith. I'm going to trust him. Well, I got so much on me. I don't know if I can do it. Hey, I've been there. I still get there. So what I do, if I make it, the only way I make it is faith. I just say, I'm not going to fall apart. I'm just going to trust God. It'll be okay. I can make the right decision. I can do the right thing. I'm going to trust him. My wife is sick. Right now, I could be all falling apart, or I could say, I don't understand everything, but I'm going to trust what I know to be true about God, and I'm going to move on. And we're going to be men of God. We're going to be. She's going to be a woman of God. I'm going to trust him. I'm just going to trust him. I just will. So I will love him. Number two, I will trust him. Set your heart on seeking God. Refocus on that at this retreat. Maybe you're already doing it. Just make sure you're doing it. Set your heart on loving God. Secondly, believe again. The things that you know to be true about God. I'm just going to trust him. I just will. And the third thing is found in verse 3. Now what I did was I circled all the my's and then I underlined the three I wills. I will love him. I will trust. And then in verse 3, I will call upon him. Usually, men who hunt have great prayer lives. They'll say, Lord, please bring that buck over here. While men hunt, they learn to move the heart of God. They say, if you bring that buck over here, I will go to church every Sunday. I will never yell at my wife again. If you do, I'll change my ways. I'll wear a tie to church. Usually men who play sports know how to pray, especially church leagues. They'll say, please, God, help us win. Help us beat that lousy church. Those guys are so hateful. I hate them. And they're so selfish. They just want the trophy, and I want the trophy. And Lord, I hate them. Help us beat them. That lousy church. So hateful. I hate them. Usually Christian men know how to pray for their family. Lord, make her shut up. I had a guy who was talking to me about prayer. He's a good, godly man, but he's a backwoods guy, you know. And we were talking, and he said, you know, Brother Mike, I sometimes have things going on at the house, and my wife and I get into an argument. He said, I just go out in the woods, and I just have to go in the woods and pray. And I was thinking, you know, I do the same thing. Sometimes we have troubles. My wife is sick, and I find myself, I go in the woods, and I pray, and I just pray, and I pour out my soul before God. So I thought, man, we got kindred hearts. And he said, I go out in the woods, and I just pray, God, you got to fix that woman. And that's how he prays. So how do you pray? Do you pray, dear Lord, thank you for this food, amen, or is that about the end of it? I would tell us that no money man is ever going to know God until he learns to pray to God. And you cannot rise above the level of your prayer life. And so the way that we make God our God, simple things we can do, we decide, I'm going to love him more than I'm going to love sin. I'm going to trust him when I feel overwhelmed. I'm going to be okay. You know, the men of God, the men of their military, the men that are men, they stand when things are tough. And so when we stand as spiritual men, it's by faith. We can do whatever we need to do. Be good dads, be good husbands. And then I will pray. You've got to carve out time to pray. And I promise you this, if you do carve out time to pray, you'll grow. It'll work. Never will fail. It never will fail. So, from God's perspective, where are you at right now? Are you up here? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Mike Pelletier? Or is God still looking at Mike Pelletier saying, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and hey, Mike, if you will look to me, I will be your God. If you are not there connected, or you're not where you think you need to be, you can do something about that and move to the next level spiritually. Amen. It's going to be a good week. Let's bow our heads. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to have invitations because we're here to grow. So let me ask you this. How many of you would say, Brother Mike, God has spoken to me. First, I want to not take anything for granted. How many would say, I may not be everything I should be, but I do know that I'm on my way to heaven. If you could say, I know I'm going to heaven, got a Bible reason, would you slip up your hand? I know I'm going to heaven, got a Bible reason why I know I'm going. Okay, thank you. Is there anybody here who would say, I couldn't raise my hand? I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to. And if you can know how to go to heaven, I'd like to know, and I want help. If that's you, would you lift up a hand and I'll see it? You put it right back down, we'll remember you in prayer. Is there anybody like that? I don't even know that I'm going to heaven. Anyone like that? Okay. Now, how many of you would say, Brother Mike, I know what you're talking about. I feel like I'm just not the level I want to be spiritually. And I feel like I'm just not the level where other men are. And I don't want God to just be their God. I want him to be my God. And I know what you're saying. I want to grow to the next level spiritually. Pray for me before God more than before me. Would you just lift up a hand before God? I see what you're saying. It's time to grow to that next level. Amen, 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 amen. And some of you are already walking with God. It's just keep walking with God. But the way that that happens, here are some tangible things. One, I will love him. Now, I don't want to know any details, but I want to tell you right now, Mike Pelletier is not perfect. Mike Pelletier gets angry. Mike Pelletier has sins that he is constantly trying to keep down. But you keep them down more when you love God enough that you don't want those things. So I wonder if there's anybody who say, Brother Mike, there's something in my life that I think I'm ashamed of and I want it out of my life because I love God more than I love that. Pray for me. If that's you, just lift up a hand, put it right back down. Good. I love God more than I want that. Good, 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 great. Amen. And then the second one is, I wonder if anybody feels overwhelmed a little bit, but this helped me. I'm just going to trust God that he's going to help me to do what I need to do. I'm not going to fall apart. I can handle it. I'm going to carry this load because that's what I have to do. And with God's help, I'll do it. If that's you, would you slip up a hand? I got something a little heavier than I think I can handle normally. Well, with supernatural divine intervention, I think I'm going to be okay because God helps men of God do what men of God need to do. Amen. Good. Great. Good. Good. And then one last thing, God bless you, friend. One last thing, is there anybody who would say, Brother Mike, I have not got much of a prayer life, but but I sure want one. And you don't have to count that you pray 30 minutes or you pray like someone else does, but you do need a prayer life. And I will guarantee you, if you'll cut out 30 minutes at least one day a week just to pray, you'll grow. And then you pray every day, you'll grow. But I wonder who would say, I need to grow my prayer life so I can grow my spiritual life. Would you just lift up a hand if that's you? God bless you. God bless you. Well, why are we here? We're here to grow close to God, not to look down at anybody, but to say we are all men who want to walk with God. So let's do what we need to get closer to God. And we're going to have an invitation. You say, what? There's not enough room. That's okay. Let's just do it anyway. And if we can come forward and grab a knee or get down by a pew, it might do our hearts good. So you can either come forward, you could get on a knee here at the front pew, you could get on a knee by your chair, or you could sit in your chair. But I think sometimes it helps me to get on a knee if your knees work, okay? As the pianist just softly plays, let's go ahead and pray to God about the things He's talking to us about. So you can turn on your chair, you come forward, say, God, I want to grow in this. I want to talk to you about this. God, I want to talk to you about this. You want to come forward? Just come. Good men getting better. Good men getting better. God, I want to talk to you about this. I love you more than I love that. Because I love you, I'm not going to do what hurts you. I love you more than that. No, I love God more than I love that. God, I want to start that prayer life. God, I'm going to trust you now. Brother, could you sing us the nearer as a solo? Just sing it while they pray. My God, not just His God. God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Mike Pelletier, and your name. Our names. If you just continue to play and pastor as you feel.
Father, thank you for the word that was preached clearly tonight. Lord, I know tonight's a shorter night, and Lord, some are going to be heading home. But Lord, I pray we'd take what we heard tonight, the music, the preaching of your word, Lord, personal application. Oh, God, be my God. I want to love you, I want to serve you, Lord. And we know that just making a decision in our heart, Lord, doesn't necessarily change anything, but Lord, it's a great way to start, Lord, to make that decision of the will. Lord, I pray that we'd be spirit-filled men. Lord, I pray that we would be humble before you. Lord, we'd be broken before you. Have a contrite heart, Lord, before you. We know you honor that, Lord. You love that. And I pray that we would, Lord, be willing to work hard, to discipline ourselves in this area. Lord, many of these men are hard workers. They put in a long day, perhaps, today. They put in work to provide for their family, themselves, Lord. And Lord, it's easy to be busy, but Lord, I pray we'd be willing to, Lord, get up even earlier if need be, to be on our knees, to be men of prayer, to be filled with your Spirit, to empty ourselves of pride and selfishness, Lord, to be all that you would have us to be. Lord, I pray that tonight would just be the start of what you're going to do, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, this week, tonight, tomorrow. Lord, we ask for safety now. Some men will be heading home. Cold night tonight. Give them safety, protection, Lord. Lord, many are coming back tomorrow. Some new men coming tomorrow. Give safety, Lord, as well. Lord, I pray we'd fellowship. I pray we'd encourage one another. I pray we'd pray for one another. I pray, Lord, that you'll show our brother exactly what you'd have for him to preach tomorrow in every session, Lord, exactly as you would desire. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you again for the opportunity to meet as men. May you be glorified and honored in all that we did in the decision. In Jesus' name, amen.